గ్రంథరాజ శ్రీమద్భాగవతం శ్రీమద్భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 14 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 16 కర్మణ సుకృత శాహు సాత్వికం నిర్మలం ఫలం రజసస్సు ఫలం దుఃఖం అజ్ఞానం తమస ఫలం. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. By acting in the mode of goodness, one becomes purified. Works done in the mode of passion result in distress, and actions performed in the mode of ignorance result in foolishness. Repeat. By acting in the mode of goodness, one becomes purified. Works done in the mode of passion result in distress, and actions performed in the mode of ignorance result in foolishness. Purport. By pious activities in the mode of goodness, one is purified. Therefore, the sages who are free from illusion are situated in happiness. Similarly, activities in the mode of passion are simply miserable. Any activity for material happiness is bound to be defeated. For example, one wants to have skyscraper. So much human misery has to be undergone before a big skyscraper can be built. The financier has to take much trouble to earn a mass of wealth, and those who are slaving to construct the building have to render physical toil. The miseries are there. So the Bhagavad Gita says that in any activity performed under the spell of the mode of passion, there is definitely great misery. There may be a little so-called mental happiness. I have this house or this money, but this is not actual happiness. As far as the mode of ignorance is concerned, the performer is without knowledge. Therefore, all his activities result in misery here and afterwards. He will go on toward animal life. Animal life is always miserable. Although under the spell of illusory energy, Maya, the animal do not understand this. Slaughtering poor animals is also due to mode of ignorance. The animal killers do not know that in the future the animal will have a body suitable to kill them. That is the law of nature. In human society, if one kills a man, he has to be hanged. That is the law of the state. Because ignorance, people do not perceive that there is a complete state controlled by Supreme Lord. Every living entity is the son of the Lord, and he does not tolerate even an ant's being killed. One has to pay for it. So indulgence in animal killing for the taste of the tongue is the grossest kind of ignorance. A human being has no need to kill animals because God has supplied so many nice things. If one indulges in meat eating anyway, it is to be understood that he is acting in ignorance and is making his future very dark. Of all kinds of animal killing, the killing of cows is most vicious. But the cow gives all kinds of pleasure by supplying milk. Cow slaughter is an act of the grossest type of ignorance. In the Vedic literature, the words Govi, Prinita, Masaram indicate that one who being fully satisfied by milk is desirous of killing the cow is in the grossest ignorance. There is also a prayer in Vedic literature, Namo Brahmana Devaya Go Brahmana Itaya Cha Jagat Itaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. My Lord, you are the well-wisher of the cows and the Brahmins, and you are the well-wisher of the entire human society and the world. The purport is that special mention is given in the prayer for the protection of the cows and the Brahmins. Brahmins are the symbol of spiritual education. Cows are the symbol of most valuable food. These two living creatures, Brahmins and the cows, must be given all protection. That is the real advancement of civilization. In modern human society, spiritual knowledge is neglected, cow killing is encouraged. It is to be understood then that the human society is advancing in wrong direction and is clearing the path to its own condemnation. A civilization which guides its citizens to become animals in the next life is essentially not human civilization. The present human civilization is of course grossly misled by the modes of passion and ignorance. It is a very dangerous age, and all nations should take care to provide the easiest process, Krishna consciousness, to save the humanity from the greatest danger. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmulitamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitamyena Bhutale Svayan Rupa Kadamayan Dadati Svapadantakam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Akadu Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Prabhupada has given long purport to this translation. It says, what happens when a person practices mode of goodness? What happens? Yesterday, we read what happens to them in the next life. Today, what happens to them now? What happens in the next life was told because the consequences are grave. People who act in the mode of ignorance and passion, they are going to have a situation worse than what it is now. They are getting very little happiness for all their labor, and that doesn't help in any way to the next birth. Activity is done in the mode of ignorance and passion, only bring misery and repetition of birth and death. So in today's sloka, by acting in the mode of goodness, one becomes purified. So it is ignorance to think that we will be happy in this world, because the world is designated and designed. Sorry, designated. The prison is designated to reform the criminals. You cannot expect freedom, fairness, and a comfortable life in the prison. The prison is meant for a special class of people. People who are criminals. They are put in prison, which are trying conditions. So, it's a wild dream. It's a unrealizable idea to think that we will be happy in this world and in the way we are trying to live. We can become happy in this world, but not in the way we are trying to live. As it is, this world is a place of misery, and by acting in the mode of goodness, you will mitigate misery. Like it is said, yuktahara viharasya yukta chashrasya karmasu yukta sapna bodhasya yoga bhavati dukha. Mitigate dukha, mitigate misery. Oh, yuktahara viharasya yukta chashrasya karmasu yukta sapna bodhasya yoga bhavati dukha. So who can mitigate? There is misery in this world. You can increase it by your whimsical life. You can decrease it by submitting to the prescribed ways of living as per the scriptures. Even then there will be misery here. Until you come to transcendence, when you come to transcendence, right in this world, because it is an unknown thing. Transcendence is an unknown thing for a conditioned soul. That's why it is called conditioned. We are conditioned to find enjoyment in a material way. The Prabhupada says, what is the difference between different people enjoying their life? He gives the example of iron chain, silver chain, and gold chain. You know, when a person is arrested, he will be put shackles, or he will be cuffed, handcuffed. He will be handcuffed. With the result that he cannot run away, he cannot escape, and is humiliated and is punished, restricted. So, to one person, you put iron chains. To another person, he put silver chains, and to another person he put gold chains. So the material may be iron, silver or gold, but all are equally restricted in their movement. Because I put chains to your legs and feet, you cannot run away like that. It may be golden chain, but you cannot use your hands to take it out and then spend it. Your hands are tied with golden chains. What can you do? So the point is, anyone who is trying to improve his lot in this world simply is exchanging his silver, his iron chains to a gold chain. Please, you handcuff me with a gold chain. So freedom is not there. That means whatever you are trying to improve, that is not going to give you freedom. Freedom means freedom from the influence of the senses and mind. Freedom means freedom from the influence of the mode of ignorance and passion. So money doesn't bring you freedom. A good house, freedom is altogether something different. You have to learn how to remove the influence of the mind on myself, then you become free. And it is said, it looks like we are all free in this world, like we are all. You can go to America, you can go to UK, and you can buy this or this or so. You think, yeah, it looks like I am free. Yeah, I can live a life of my choice. But no, you are not living a life of your choice. The modes are dictating to you. Your karmas are pushing you. And you think, just like sometimes a child is trying to lift a big weight and he cannot. So father from behind, he may just let the child put his hands on the weight and father will lift it. And the child thinks, I am lifting this weight. Child thinks, is it? So similarly, actually everything is carried out by the modes of material nature. Prakrutya kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manate. The Bhagavad Gita says, prakrutya kriyamanani. Suppose I say, I am lifting my hands. God has allowed you to lift your hands. That's all. And tomorrow I may get some joint stiffness, and I go to the doctor and say, I am unable to lift my hand, or I may get a paralytic stroke, or tomorrow I may not have a hand at all, I may lose my hand in a street accident. So if you think you are doing, then why you have to lament later that my hand is stiff, no, my hand is severed, or there is no synchronization between my mind and my hand. A person who is affected with paralysis, his mind is willing, but there is no synchronization. That means there is some breach between the mind and the hand. the connections are not normal. So it's not that the paralysis affected man, he likes to walk by himself to the bathroom. He likes to eat food by himself. He likes. Somehow, he cannot even lift his finger. Previously you were lifting, and now you are not lifting. That means, previously also, you were not lifting. Krishna was lifting for you. And now Krishna stopped lifting. So when, just like I told you, the child, the father is lifting the weight. Just like sometimes children, they insist. They are very adamant that I want to drive the motorbike. What a 5-year, 3-year-old kid can ride a motorbike, not probably. But he is adamant, he is stubborn. No, 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 I want to drive. He is a child. So father, if he doesn't satisfy his desire, the child will go on crying and he will be mentally, he will be restless. He will be unhappy. So father, he will be all right. He is not mature to run a motorbike, but somehow he wants to run motorbike because children insist on doing what they see. They also want to do. A child may go into the kitchen, mother is doing so many things. It is the nature of the child to imitate. Children just imitate. They don't know why and what. They just imitate. So a child may go into the kitchen and he sees mother using certain things and doing something, and he will also gather some toys and start doing. This is a moong dal, this is my firewood, and then they start playing. The imitating mother, what they have seen mother doing in the kitchen. No? So that is the nature of the children. So the child is adamant that he will drive motorbike. Then what father will do? The father wants to make the child happy, and father wants to satisfy the child. So all I do is sit. He let the child put his hands on the motorbike, and then he will do the whole thing. And child becomes very happy. Oh, I am doing motorbike, you know. Then child becomes very happy. So similarly, no one is doing anything. If you are doing anything, only you can do something when you are free. So whatever, that's why in the second chapter, Arjuna is asking Krishna, Sthita Prajnasya Kabhasha Samadhisthasya Kesava Sthita Dhinkim Prabhasheta Kimasetva. We know how in the influence of material modes how people are doing, like goodness, passion, ignorance. But one who has transcended this, you don't find such people in this world. And we are all supposed to transcend the three modes of material nature. And how to do it. And what are the symptoms of a self-realized soul. Then Krishna says that he lives a life completely different from what others are. It's like day and night difference. A self-realized soul and a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul is living for sense gratification. A liberated soul He remains aloof from sense gratification, completely different. Both are working. One is working for sense gratification, one is working for attaining liberation. So here, in this sloka today, by acting in the mode of goodness, what is this mode of goodness? Mode of goodness means you are not passionate to work. I like to do this, I like to do that. No. You are cool. By doing what I can benefit really. So I want to do that. It's not what you like or don't like. In passion, you say, I don't like to do this. I like to do this. But if you are in the mode of goodness, oh, this will bring me eternal happiness. So, my mind is not inclined, but I will force myself to do this. So, a person in the mode of goodness, he considers what is eternal, what is temporary, what is miserable, what is happiness, and what is attachment, what is detachment, what is conditioning, what is liberation. Goodness means illuminated by knowledge. Mode of goodness, the very word indicates goodness, means you know how to lead a good life. Okay, the mode of goodness, how to lead a good life. Good life means you don't hurt others, don't hurt yourself. And you serve people who are unhappy, and by serving them, you are happy. And then you want to understand what is the godly life, divine life. All things are there. So in the mode of goodness, simply knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. What is the right thing to do? And how to attain everlasting, eternal benefit. So people have to cultivate. Generally, we are all under the influence of mode of ignorance and passion. Body is ignorance and mind is passionate at ignorance. So, there is no possibility of acting in goodness. That means you have to read Bhagavad Gita, slowly you will come to mode of goodness. You have to do japam, so you will come to mode of goodness. You have to eat prasadam, you will come to mode of goodness. And you have to serve the deity and the devotees. And this will have a powerful influence for the mind. Simple activities, eating, serving. So you come and give a glass of water to a devotee, or you take deity as Krishna, non-different from Krishna, seriously. And just like you give to a thirsty person a glass of water, you also, yes, Krishna will drink water. So let me offer Krishna a glass of water. You understand that Krishna is a person, you understand that Krishna is allowing you to do some service, not that he needs, he is allowing you to do service to benefit you. No? Krishna doesn't benefit anything by serving him. Of course, he may, because you are serving with love and affection, you may find more happiness But otherwise also Krishna is always happy. And if you don't serve him, also he is happy. If you try to trouble him, also he is happy. Then Krishna is transcendental. In transcendence, there is no misery. In transcendence, there is no passion. So, like in spiritual life also, gopis are crying and gopis are working hard. You cannot compare that. Gopis are working like donkeys. Or you cannot say, gopis are crying for the absence of Krishna. Generally in this world, you love someone and you miss him and you cry. But when you miss Krishna and you cry, immediately you feel the presence of Krishna. Immediately you become happy. Whether you are separated from Krishna or you are with Krishna, if you don't forget Krishna, in separation you don't forget Krishna, your enthusiasm will remain the same and your ecstasy will remain the same. Probably more. Your enthusiasm will be more. Your ecstasy is more. Because when you love someone and he is not there, or you want to do something for him and you become very happy doing that. When I can make Krishna happy, that's how our relation with Krishna is. Just like the hand becomes happy when it is attached to the body. The hand becomes very useful when it becomes attached to the body. Similarly, the soul reaches its desired destination. So, in Krishna consciousness, you can develop from mode of ignorance to passion to goodness, and then you can transcend also. You can do separately good activities, and you can do devotional activities. Devotional activities include goodness. Simple good activities, they may not bring you to transcend. They may, in the long run, teshvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam tejvandamoham nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrataha. In the end you will come to bhakti. But if you practice bhakti, you will immediately begin to transcend the three modes of material nature. So, human beings are supposed to act in the mode of goodness, and the result will be purification. What is this purification we are talking about? Purification means freedom from material contamination. Desiring material objects, desiring material relationships, and desirous of bodily gratification. This is all called contamination, because we are not this body and we don't own this body forever. So you deal with the body in a pragmatic way. Body is temporary, so I have to use this body without attachment. The body is temporary and I should not waste my time to gratify the body, but I should utilize this body to transcend. So purification means purification from three modes of material nature, freedom from ignorance, freedom from attachment. This is all the result of purification, which comes from being in the mode of goodness. works done in the mode of passion result in distress. So in passion you want to do something, that means you are already working hard and you may not get the result. You may get the result, but still you are not satisfied. That's so, mode of passion results in distress. To work it is distress. And you don't get the result, it is more distress. And you get the result, but you are not satisfied with the result, again you are in distress. That means mode of passion simply brings you distress, no matter what the different happenings may be. And lastly, actions performed in the mode of ignorance result in foolishness, a foolish behavior. Nowadays, most of the things are under this category. Foolish behavior, material education, foolish behavior. And trying to be happy in material situation, foolishness. And anything you can take. Thinking that money will make you happy, foolishness. And word of ignorance. Ignorance means you don't know what is dharma, what is adharma. So, and then passion means you consider dharma as adharma and adharma as dharma. And in word of ignorance, simply you don't know nothing. Ignorance. So you will be doing everything topsy-turvy. Completely sinful life. Passionate life means material aggrandizement. And ignorant life means simply laziness, wrong habits, and simply suffering. Only suffering. You enjoy wrong things. You work for wrong objectives. So it is said, mode of ignorance will simply bring you foolishness, and mode of passion will bring you distress, and mode of goodness you begin to see symptoms of happiness, symptoms of liberation, symptoms of spiritual activity. That you see the mode of goodness. So people have to be drilled to understand, people have to be provided prasadam, and people should participate in kirtan. Slowly they will understand that I am becoming purified. Purification is just like water is impure. Water is impure. The gold is impure. So you cannot drink the water that is impure. If the gold is impure, you cannot pay the same price as you pay to the 24 carat gold. So when you are in the mode of goodness, you cannot expect everlasting happiness. You cannot expect transcendental bliss. You are looking for everlasting transcendental bliss, but you can never get it as long as you stay in the mode of ignorance and mode of passion. So people who are in the mode of goodness, they want to help others. That is part of mode of goodness. They want to be happy and also make others happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీతకి